We've all heard about the South African variant, and it's in two places in UK, but only because there have been connections of people from South Africa. We need to remember Ollie, because she's still got, I don't know about family, but still got friends, certainly, over in, what's the name of the place?
Zimbabwe,
yeah, which is one of those affected. So we will be praying for people like that later, for Bruce and his hospital things. We better not publicly pray for Neil, because last time when I prayed for him, it went out on broadcast, and apparently it shouldn't have done, but and they said that was me getting on with him. So it's a funny world. Anyway, can we go public now, sir? Right. Yes, so that's right. Public is that we should pray for Ollie and for family and friends, particularly of hers that are in that area. For Bruce with what he's got coming. For Rita, for what she's got tomorrow, something on her tongue. They're going to do an investigation or something. So, for anybody who is affected by this virus, also, I've been given information of lady, only 25, is she?
Yeah.
Gary.
My brother, yeah. His second eldest son. These ladies just give birth to a child, a baby girl, but she's got cancer of bones. She's had both her breasts off, she's having chemo, and they give her a little while to live, but now the cancer is eating into her legs and is eating into her back, so they don't hold much hope for her being around too long. People saved up some money for them both going on a holiday, but Gary doesn't seem to think that's going to come off. She's going to go before she's only 25. So, and Cole's in a bit of a state, and Cole's also going through custody of his son with his other lady. Now they've gone to put that back a year, and it's messing his mind up. So he's not in a good way. He doesn't know which way to turn, where it comes to his
So family. Within Graham's family, there is a young lady who has been told she hasn't got long to live. In Kingstainton, where we used to go and play pool on a Friday night, the publican there has got cancer. He's had chemo and he's still not open. It's been closed for weeks. So, you know, there's someone else that's got it. It seems to be spreading, unfortunately. And then in that pub, a long time ago, we met a lady and her son. The lady continued to come on a Friday night, aided by other people, but she always had to have some oxygen with her. I've just been told this morning that she has now died yesterday or in the night. She lives in Kingstainton, or in Newton Abbot really, no, in Newton Abbot, and with another friend of mine, and her son lives in Barton. So I've offered to do anything pastorally I could for that family, because we know them, but I don't know what the problem was. There was a breathing lung problem, but I don't know what the name of the actual illness was. But we were warned that she was getting worse and would not likely come out of hospital. There's always people to pray for, and we must believe that God hears our prayers, because we have wonderful evidence of other people who have been completely cured. So we don't give up hope, we go on praying. And the other thing I wanted to say to you was the meeting that Graham and Dawn and Eunice went to, the Willows, and our hope for a base was taken first on the agenda. The meeting was held here down in the deep part over there, and the councillor that's acting on behalf of the leader of the council in finding a place, he'd looked at the Wren retail park. There is one place there that is empty. It was outlet, but they found it's much the contract is much of a problem. All of the people that have got centres up there all have to share the parking charges. They have to pay for their parking for their customers. And there were so many problems within the contract that has had to be left. And now, and I think we've tried this before ourselves, but now apparently the same councillor is on to the brewery, I suppose, about the lower car park here. Hoping they could put a porta cabin there. It'd be a lovely place, but I've always been told that the freehold of the whole area here is owned by someone else, and the brewery are only leaseholders. So we'll have to see, but if a council could do something that we couldn't, then that would be a good place. So we need to go on praying. Otherwise, I think that have to be a place, you know, where there at the present is grass, and you get some local people opposing that, but as the council leader says, there are plenty of places that could happen, but they'd have to fight some opposition, because the council were going to do one up the first road from the main road in the Willows, and that was opposed by neighbours who said they would be looking upon it. So I don't know. So anyway, we go on praying for that, but just wanted to give you that latest news. Now we need a candle. Would you like to light the candle? Yeah. Sarah nearly called you Carol, I don't know why. So it's one red candle. Choose which you like. Thank you very much. That's lovely. So that's the first Advent candle. Today is Advent Sunday, the first Sunday in Advent. And so then the songs are more about the coming of Jesus. Advent songs. The first one, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Thank you.
You are the one true and only living God, Father, Son, and Spirit, three persons in one Godhead. O Lord, we thank you for who you are and for what you do. And we come to you now because we know that you love to hear our prayers. We pray for the world you created. Lord, there are places that are still having many, many difficulties. We think of the situation in Afghanistan, where there are people who wanting to get out of the country. There are people trying to get out of the country and sometimes losing their lives in that try. So, Lord, we ask for all people in that country, and we ask that there will be ways found to feed, to clothe, and to supply for those in need. And then, Lord, we think of the situation in South Africa, and we think of the countries that surround the center of South Africa. And Lord, we know that Ollie has family and friends in one of those countries. We pray for her, we pray for her friends and relatives, and we pray for all people that are being affected by that new virus. Lord, help us to be careful. Help us to wait for the instructions that we receive in our own country, both from the scientists and the politicians. And we thank you, Lord, that they're working together to do all that they can to stop the spread of any virus in our country. Lord, we pray for our Queen and country. We pray for all leaders, nationally, locally, and Lord, give to them your wisdom. We pray, Lord, for the church. We pray for the church throughout the world. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us, that we might truly share your love with other people, so that your church may be extended and your name glorified. We pray, Lord, for Rita, for her examination, or whatever we call it, tomorrow. We pray for Bruce, waiting for these now various tests. We pray, Lord, that whatever they do will be so helpful for him. We thank you for the good service that he is receiving. We pray, Lord, for Graham's family. We pray for the situation that you know about with that young lady. We pray for Margaret, who you have called home in the last 24 hours. We pray for her new baby. You pray for the baby's father. Lord, we pray that you would enter into that family and their needs at this time. And Lord, for other people that we know who are not well, other people who we know live on their own and are lonely. Lord, we pray that you would be a companion to the lonely, that you would feed the hungry, that you would heal the ill. We pray, Lord, that you would help find work for the unemployed. We pray for the homeless, that they may find homes. And Lord, we want to thank you for all the people that are helping people in need. Our National Health Service, the police, the ambulance service, the fire service, and crowds of volunteers and other organizations, all working to relieve people of a variety of needs. We pray for each other. We pray for Brian, who is coming back today from a week's holiday. Bring him back safely. We pray for Jean and for Stuart. And Lord, we pray that Stuart will be secure while Jean is not there at the home, that he won't fall. Be with Jean with all that she does for Stuart. And Lord, we ask for greater safety and mobility for Stuart himself. And be with the rest of the family too, Lord, we pray. We pray for Sarah. We thank you, Lord, for her faithfulness. We ask that you would continue to strengthen her physically and spiritually. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with the people that she knows, be with her neighbors, be with her friends, be with her family. But Lord, also be her close companion, for she lives on her own too. So be with them. We pray for Rita's family. Some of them are just coming out of the virus infection. We pray that they may now maintain their full strength. We pray for Graham. We pray for Dawn and Dean. Pray for Rachel, for Neil, Evie and Reuben. Be with them all, Lord. We pray for Eunice and myself. Lord, we thank you that you are one that we can come to and know and experience your love and your strength. So, Lord, keep us strong. Don't let us give up, but keep us working for you. We thank you for Bruce's mother and father and pray that you'll keep them safe now that they are housebound. And we pray for Dawn. We pray for Emma and Hannah and their friends. Keep them safe, Lord. So, Lord, people that we may not mention, but you know who's on our hearts and minds. We bring them all to you, and we ask, Lord, that you will have your way upon us. So, Lord, be with us, keep us safe, give to us your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brightest and best are the sons of the morning. The next. Thank you. And now over to Jean and the readings that are there.
This morning's reading, scripture reading, is from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, and then verses 27 to 32. Jesus calls his first disciple. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Jesus called Levi and eats with sad sinners. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I haven't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
Thank you very much. And our next song, I hope you know it, "Children of Jerusalem Sang the Praise of Jesus' Name."
Told to love the Lord, we Hark, 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 all children's voices sing.
Series for the 3 weeks of Advent before we come to Christmas itself. And I thought, well, walking with Jesus, but out of that, to choose three things that I felt God was calling me to share. And the first one was the choices that Jesus made in his ministry. And so we're going to look at his choices. Next week we're going to look at his compassion. And the third week is his concerns, sorry. I think I better put my glasses on, didn't you? Much of this is perhaps not printed on my card. It will come, if I may put it this way, directly from my heart. But first of all, is concerning the concerns of the choices of Jesus. He chose his disciples. Right at the beginning of his ministry, he chose those who would become his disciples and follow him. And let's look at the people he chose. There was James and John, and they were known as the sons of thunder. They were very outspoken. They often wanted their way, and they'd let everyone know it. Then there was Simon Peter. He was slow to believe, and he left things when it got a bit hot for him. For instance, he denied even knowing Jesus when Jesus was first arrested. Very slack and slow person. Not very enthusiastic as we saw him in the early days. And then there's Matthew, a tax collector, known to cheat people of their money. That's what the tax collectors used to do in those days. Not a very honest man. And then there was poor old Thomas. He was full of doubt. He doubted everything. He wanted proof. And then there was Judas, who became the betrayer. Money was more important than Jesus to him. Then there's my own experience of God and his choice. I don't know whether you saw the program last night about Adele and singing. I wasn't really aware of Adele before, but I looked up about Adele, and she apparently did a 3-track demo for a class project. And then she graduated from the school, college, academy, and as she did, she sent that through the post. She posted it somewhere online. And the organization called VL Recordings, just after she'd graduated in 2006, signed her as an artist. In other words, they chose her just as she was coming out of college. That's someone who made a choice which, if you now look at her career, they made a good choice, didn't they? And then there's, in my experience, when I became a youth leader, they made lots of choices. We had about 7 football teams. And stupid me said, well, I'll go with the first team. Now, I didn't know anything about the rules of football. And someone suggested to me at the first match that they played, the first team, that I should run the line because they've got no one to do it. Well, that was going to be hopeless. But there was one young chap called Louis, and his girlfriend was there. And he said, Bruce, my girlfriend will run the line for you. I was beginning to make a mess of it. So she came and she did it. And she did it for weeks afterwards. She knew the rules and she was a good linesman. But I had chosen to serve that football team. We called them Pegasus. And they did quite well. But there came a time when it was quite obvious that they had worked themselves up into a higher league and they needed more help. And so one of the fathers came and took over leading them. The young people wanted me, they chose me, but there came a time when you could see that the choice was no longer the right one. Not for me as a football coach, but as I look back, certainly they chose the right youth club to come to, because Pegasus wasn't a Christian club, but it came out of Christian young people going to church, and it grew, as I say, 7 football teams and their girlfriends. And when I look back and see how some of them came to our golden wedding, grown up, and then to our diamond wedding, God made the right choice. He brought me and those young people together. Not all of them came to faith, but many, many did. And then, next in my own experience, there was my mother-in-law. Mother-in-laws, I'm told, can be difficult. This is Eunice's mother, yes. She knew me as a youth leader. She also knew me as a rebel. And one day I said to her, one of the churches that I have known as a youth leader have asked me if I would consider becoming their minister. This was Tessa in Fulham. Oh no, she went, you sure? She said, I'll tell you, I'll give you a bit of advice. She said, don't accept the call unless it's unanimous. It wasn't a large church at that time, it became one, but it wasn't. And the vote was unanimous. So, mother-in-law accepted it, and her own husband did the reading at my induction. Our choices are not necessarily the choices of the Lord. And then Salem. It was a lovely church. Every time I asked if I could do something new, they used to say, well, only if you've got the strength, only if it's not too much. And then came the time of a special anniversary. And they were saying, oh, we'll have an anniversary speaker, and we'll do this, have a special service. And I said, can't we do something bigger? What do you mean, they said. I said, plant a church. I said, up there in Charville, there's no church. People have to travel. And there's a rotten bus service up there too. Well, of course, they said, all right, yes. And that was the big choice of the anniversary. And where did that choice come from? Well, it came because one day I had walked up into this estate and found that there was a community centre, but nothing else. And that was God speaking to me. That was God's choice through me. And when I look back on my life, I can see how God has directed my work by His choice and not by what I thought I was carrying to do. Never be a football coach. He chose me to be a youth leader and a pastor, and that was His choice. Choices that originally really shook me, and I thought, oh, I can't do that. I can't speak in public, I said to myself. But I want to go on. My own experiences and the experience of the disciples that Jesus chose, all but one of them was faithful and used mightily. Just think of it. The people that had all those problems, all those faults, all those sins, and Jesus chose them and they became the perfect 12 disciples, bar one. One Peter 2 verse 9 says, you are a chosen people. And you know, this is the wonderful thing about God's choice. He has chosen us. God loves all people. And Jesus has chosen us to be His followers, to be His disciples. John 15 verse 19, I have chosen you. And Joshua 24 verse 15, choose you this day whom you will serve. Jesus made His choices, and if you look at what happened, you will see that so many people were used of God after Jesus had chosen them to serve Him. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing. God chooses the unlikely. God loves everyone. And he sent, God sent his son. Why? So that all who would respond in faith could be accepted and have a new life. But Jesus' choice is tremendous, because he made no difference between sinner, man, woman, child. He chose all people to die for. That was his choice. No one was too bad for Jesus to choose. And we look at the disciples he chose, we thought, well, he made the wrong choice, but he didn't. He never makes the wrong choice. He is there, and he has chosen us. And so the challenge in return surely must be that we should take heed of what Joshua says in the Old Testament, choose you this day who you will serve. And that is our challenge. That is our call. And it comes from the one who has actually chosen us. And I have to admit that when I first came to the Lord, I couldn't believe when someone said, he's chosen you. I thought, they're mad. But they weren't mad. God bless you all. We're now going to sing the last song, From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe. This is the one that's known as the Servant King.
This is our God, the
Let us join hands again. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.